Today's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 10 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth became through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Word of God.
For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I love the way John begins his gospel, which is so much different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew and Mark and Luke's gospels, there's names and genealogies and events taking place, and it seems like John wants to tell us the story behind the story, doesn't he? And that's what we hear there, the what was going on behind the scenes, that the Word became flesh, and we're going to listen in on that today. So this morning we continue this three-part sermon series on being Christian in the world today, what it means to be Christian today. Last week, Pastor Chris reminded us how love, in its unconditional and most radical way, is what underlines and boldens the name of Christian. And today I want to look at a couple of other characteristics of being a Christian that you just heard in this reading, and that is the characteristics of grace and truth, and holding grace and truth in a balance and in intention in our lives. Let's start by just kind of getting our thinking warmed up here a little bit. There are a number of things that we hold in tension in our lives. Maybe the easiest example would be the roles we play, the roles we live out, right? Or the different hats that we wear each and every day. Each of us here, we're sons and daughters. Some of us are married, husbands, wives. Some of us parents, grandparents. But we're more than that, aren't we? We're neighbors. We're friends. We are business people. We're employers, employees, retirees as well. Some of us are homeowners, pet owners, right? A lot of pet owners here today? Yeah, bet. We have many, many roles. And most importantly, we're children of God, and that colors everything that we are and everything that we do. But my point is in saying, you know, all those things vie for attention in our lives. And it's kind of like the old tug-of-war game that we played when we were kids, you know, one side trying to pull the other over. That tension happens when those different needs and responsibilities are vying for us, and we shift our balance to accommodate that. That's what tension does. As parents, Deb and I kind of live this out in the way we raised our children. I've been told many times, the sugar daddy, all right? You know, a little too lenient, too laxed. I see some of you laughing out there. Deb was always the more concerned one, the rule devotee, okay? And you think about that in a marriage and in parenting. It gets a little messy when those things are, you know, are working at each other there, sometimes in tension with each other. But when you live them out correctly together, when you hold a good balance, I think that's a good thing for parenting. At least a sugar daddy thinks so. I don't know. holding things in tension, holding things in balance. It's part of our spiritual life as well. We do this all the time. We have the needs for living out our life with Christ in solitude, you know, our prayer times and devotion and so on, being alone, and as well being in community. We need to be together and be the body of Christ together. We think about that balance with faith and belief and also with action. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, talked about it in terms of having those acts of piety or devotion, and along with works of mercy and caring in the world. What I want to offer you today, I want us to get to think about this tension between grace and truth, grace and truth. And my hope is that we'll understand how this balance is something that evolves over the course of our faith journey. That this is an evolving balance over the course of our faith journey. It's something that matures as we move along. So, required reading in seminary 35 years ago. I remember this book, Stages of Faith, by writer James Fowler. And what he suggests in this book is that there are six different stages of faith that people may move and experience through their spiritual development over the course of their life. And the gist is that healthy spiritual development moves along this continuum from a childhood faith that is fairly simplistic and literal, you know, if I'm good, God will bless me kind of thinking. Very conforming, I believe because I'm told to believe or because others believe, to a more reflective faith, a faith that questions and challenges and evolves and reforms itself over time. And so what he's saying is that part of our journey then is to move from these absolutes and these certainties through that normal upheaval, the ups and downs, even the dark nights of the soul that make up life, to this greater openness and acceptance of mystery and paradox, that sometimes things don't, you know, can't be held in balance real well. And as well, a widening embrace of love that doesn't have any boundaries. Maybe one way to say it is that at this latter stage of faith, we see the world more in tones of gray than in black and white. Now, that doesn't mean we don't know things for sure or believe things, that we're not certain about things. But I think what it means is that we hold them with humility. We hold them with an openness. We hold them with a love that tempers everything we hold on to tightly. Fowler says that in the final stage of the journey of faith, our faith gives over to selfless, even suffering love on behalf of others, to unconditional love without a boundary. Wow. Now, it goes to saying, right? That's a difficult journey. We know it's not an easy journey. And we also have to say, you know, sitting in this room, we're all in different places along that journey. Some of us have been moving steadily along over the years of our lives. Some of us had to step away and start over again. Some of us are coming into the journey later in life. Some of us are ready to quit. Some of us who have had just enough. That movement toward an unconditional love, it's not easy. It's not easy. And it is, by nature, marked with a lot of struggle and upheaval, even tragedy, because those are the things that when we rub faith up to them, faith can grow. Faith can become deeper. My point in naming this is to say that being Christian is not an undemanding journey, especially if you want to follow Christ more deeply over the years. In a way, I think it's kind of like giving birth over and over again. You know, constantly recreation. Now, even as I say that, I know as a guy, I only partly know what it means to give birth. Okay, I get that. I was there for my children's birth, and I watched the incredible joy and pain on my wife's face as that all happened out, but I will say to you too that, you know, my experience of that was just how big and incredible birth is, how big and incredible it is. And I think being Christian is like that too, that God is so much bigger than we give God credit for. and that being Christian is so much more an amazing journey than we allow it to be when we get too comfortable along the journey and we stop moving forward, moving on, growing. You know, what God is doing in Christ, reconciling the world to God's self, that's a huge thing. That God is bringing all things back into balance with the love of Jesus Christ. You know, that's something we spend our lives growing into. Amen? We live into that throughout our lives as followers of Jesus. We participate in that. Now, I chose the scripture lesson today because I think it gives a great picture of how this plays out. God's word becomes flesh, lives among us. That's the incarnation. We've seen His glory, Christ's glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. I want to spend a few moments talking about what it means that Jesus was full of grace and truth, this epitome of mature faith. What it means, I think, is that he did better than anyone else, held those qualities in tension and held those qualities in balance. And I think it's important that we get this, friends, because this is how God's love gets communicated to the world. This is how that unconditional love gets communicated, with grace and with truth. Okay, so we talk a lot about grace, don't we? We're big on grace around here, rightly so. That is how God's love gets communicated. It is free. It's communicated freely. It is unearned. You don't have to earn it. It comes in surprising and amazing ways, and because of that, it has the power to save. It has the power to transform. Grace is amazing. When we talk about God's truth, we mean a couple of things. We talk about God's faithfulness, steadiness, reliability. But we also mean that God has a true way for us, a true way of life. In our faith story, we see this in the course of our faith story. God spoke through Moses and the law, right? And there was truth in that. Then God spoke through the prophets, and there was truth in that. And then God spoke most completely and incredibly and fully in Jesus Christ, who continues to speak through the Holy Spirit, through the church, and into our hearts. Grace and truth held together. So part of our point in this sermon series was that, you know, there are certain things that discredit the name Christian in the world. There are certain things that people have trouble with today. And I think one of the things that eats away at the name Christian, it eats away at the character of Christian, is when those distinctives, grace and truth, get out of balance. Get out of balance. What I'm talking about is grace that is cheap and truth that is uncaring. Grace that is cheap and truth that is uncaring. When we read the Gospels, we hear this. Jesus is constantly standing up, saying no to those who wielded truth like a weapon. Most of the time it was those who should have known better, but they were still doing it. To the religious leaders, he once said, you bundle up heavy, cumbersome loads of your laws, your truth. You put it on people's shoulders. You don't help them. You judge them. They were the legalists because they cared more about their laws than they cared about the importance of love within those laws. Christians say no to truth that's uncaring. Truth that says rules are more important than love. One of the best Jesus stories is the story of the woman who was caught in adultery. And as they could in those days, this is crazy, but they hauled her out in public in front of Jesus. And they said to Jesus, trying to trap him, well, Moses' law says we can stone this woman to death. What do you say? And Jesus said, okay, let those of you who never sinned throw the first stone, right? And you hear their stones dropping to the ground. That's grace. That's grace, isn't it? Forgiveness, even though you could have been condemned. Mercy, even though you're guilty. But Jesus also said no to cheap grace. Back to the story again. Everyone left, right? Everyone is gone. And Jesus says to her, where are your accusers? And then he says, no one has condemned you, neither do I. And what does he say? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Grace and truth held in tension. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Nazi Germany during World War II. He stood up to Hitler and that regime. He was killed for doing that. But he was a brilliant theologian. He had some powerful things to say about grace and truth. And this is one of the things he put out there. It's a little bit sarcastic. I think you'll catch that. He says, "The essence of grace, we suppose, is that the account has been paid in advance. And because it has been paid, everything can be had for nothing. Since the cost was infinite, the possibilities of spending it are infinite. What would grace be if it were not cheap?" We know that God's grace isn't cheap, don't we? God's grace isn't cheap. That meaning that the Word became flesh, we heard in the gospel today, is that God's love pursues us. God's love just doesn't put up with us, but pursues us. Invests everything to find us when we're lost, to save us, to set us on the path of life. God's grace isn't cheap. I remember when I got my first car in high school, and my father said to me that if I worked hard all summer long and saved all of my money, that I could get that car at the end of the summer. And I got my car, and I loved that car, and I took care of that car. I appreciated that car. Why? Because I experienced the cost of having that car. It wasn't free to me. It's a familiar story, I'm sure, to many of us here today. Or it may be to some of the teens here that are here with us today. The point is that cheap grace wants the benefit without the cost. It seeks the easy road. Cheap grace is Jesus without a cross, discipleship without sacrifice. Cheap grace likes Jesus to stay up in heaven where we think he belongs. But God's grace is costly grace. Bonhoeffer said, "It's the treasure hidden in the field, and for the sake of it, the person will go and sell all that he has to obtain it. It's the pearl of great price to buy, which the merchant sells all to have it. It's the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciples leave their nets and follow him." Grace is amazing. I believe that for the name Christian to have integrity in the world today, we have to hold this tension of grace and truth well. People are turned off by Christianity that's legalistic. People are tired of Christians who wield truth like swords and their certainties without regard for the persons who are hurt by those judgments. On the other hand, I think people struggle to see authenticity in Christianity, to see what's genuine and authentic in a faith that doesn't care about growing, maturing in love, becoming more like the Savior we profess to follow. Grace and truth has to be held in balance for you and I to have integrity in our walk with the Lord. In his book, Seeing Gray in a World of Black and White, Pastor Adam Hamilton says it like this: "Christianity, when most effective, most faithful, most empowering, is found in the sweet spot between legalism, that is that over preoccupation with morals, and libertinism, that rejection of morals." He says it holds together in tension that seemingly opposite ideas of grace and holiness, faith and works. To be a Christ follower today, to be a church with integrity today, we need to live and act in that sweet spot, my friends. And to figure that out, we're always looking to Jesus, the pioneer, perfecter of our faith, who still goes before us and who shows us the way, who helps to bring us to mature faith through the power of Holy Spirit. Maybe this will bring it to home for you. I was listening another preacher talk on this text the other day, and he said that we like grace when it's about us, and we like truth when it's about someone else. How true. But I thought, what if we flip that? What if we were more gracious and merciful toward others and more truthful about ourselves? I think that's the sweet spot, isn't it? I think that's the sweet spot. In your bulletin, there's a few questions for you to to take this a little further and think about it over the next day or so. Where is Christ calling me to practice a more gracious love, unconditional love? Toward whom? Where is Christ calling me to be more truthful about myself? Where is Christ trying to help me mature in my faith? I pray, friends, that Holy Spirit would help you embody that grace and that truth, which is Jesus Christ. For in Him, John said, we have been given grace upon grace upon grace. We have all we need. Well, thanks be to God for this difficult but amazing journey of being a Christian. Amen.